You're listening to The Voyager in association with Turkish Airlines on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Voyager here on Monocle 24. Monocle's travel show spotlighting outposts of opportunity for business, pleasure and inspiration all around the world. I'm Steve Bloomfield. This week we head to Jakarta, where your guide is Monocle's Nolan Giles.
Welcome to Jakarta, the thriving capital of the world's fourth most populous nation. I'm wandering through its downtown streets, the sounds of which echo across the colourful neighbourhoods of the sprawling megacity beyond them. Muslim prayer rings out from mosques and roadside speakers five times a day, while horns and whistles are the navigation code for the motorbikes and cars clogging the city's roads. There's no denying Jakarta is a tough city, stricken with urban problems. Yet, it's the ambitious populace driving the city's growth that also makes this destination so impressive. Despite a slow pace on the roads, Jakarta is truly a city on the move. At the top, the successive city governments of now President Joko Widodo and new Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahaya Purnama, otherwise known as Ahok, have clamped down on corruption and made valiant efforts to improve public transport and revitalize downtrodden neighborhoods. They're backed by enterprising developers, capitalizing on creating a more livable Jakarta for a population that's rising in affluence. At a grassroots level, an entrepreneurial spirit can be felt across a wide range of sectors, with young Jakartans returning home from studies abroad with innovative ideas that still appreciate their rich and benevolent home culture. These streets might seem gritty on first impression, but look closer, and in the traffic you can spot the green helmets of delivery drivers ordered from the popular homegrown Gojek app, which is easing congestion problems. Behind me, the hip new cafes are packed and alight with optimistic chatter. I'm starting the day with a visit to some pioneers in Jakarta's food and beverage industry. Tanamera Coffee, a small brand with grand ambitions to reshape Indonesia's coffee industry. I'm approaching the packed cafe now, the entrance of which, surprisingly for Jakarta, is lined with pushbikes, not motorbikes. Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome to Tanamera.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Come through. Please come through. I'm Karina, by the way, from Tanamera Coffee.
Nolan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
At the heart of Tanamera Coffee is the gleaming Giessen Coffee Roaster, manned by a team of passionate coffee aficionados. This machine not only makes for an interesting focal piece, it's becoming the source of coffee for a growing number of eateries across the city as the Tanamera brand expands.
My name is Yoel Budianto, or they call me Yoel. I'm the operations manager for Tanamera Coffee Indonesia. So the idea of Tanamera Coffee is about highlighting Indonesian coffee. Back in the days, Indonesia is one of the regions where coffee is really famous from, but over the years, the popularity kind of declined, but we believe that it deserves more recognition. So that's what we're here for. We highlight local coffees and just our single origins, which is really beautiful. And we believe that we can get it to international stage and become one of the best coffees in the world, we believe.
While Indonesia is the world's fourth largest coffee exporter, and kopi, as it's called here, forms an important part of daily life for Jakartans, Yoel says the niche Tanamera is carving into the industry is a more specialized one, aimed at enhancing appreciation of well-sourced Indonesian beans and carefully brewed coffee.
In Indonesia, it's a little bit different. Like, coffee has a bit of an image of it that's a bit negative. This is bad for your health and stuff like that. So we want to rewire the thinking by producing good coffee, doesn't require sugar, that kind of thing. So with that approach, I believe slowly the public become more educated about coffee and they become more appreciative of it.
But part of what you're doing here in terms of the education is you've actually got the roaster there in front of the customers. Yeah. Can you tell us about that experience?
So basically what we want to do is to invite people to our industry. And we put our roaster right there, just in the middle of our cafe, so people can learn more and discover more the process that we take to make sure that the cup of coffee you're having is the best quality of coffee you can have.
Taxi, taxi! From Tanamera Coffee, I'm making the trip across town to Kota Tua, Jakarta's old town, via taxi. Hello.
Hello. Mau ke mana?
Ke Kota Tua ya, Pak.
Kota Tua. Okay.
Navigating this city can be a trying experience. In traffic, a 2 kilometer journey can easily turn into an hour-long trip. The roads here are unpredictable and the traffic jams long. While the government is improving the public transportation system, with a new MRT network on the way, right now, new voyagers to this city should stick to taxis or hire a driver. You might even pick up a few useful words in Bahasa Indonesia while you're at it. Berapa?
50,000.
50,000.
Yes. Terima kasih, sir.
Terima kasih. I'm now trundling through the quiet historic streets of Kota Tua, which have a starkly different vibe to the dense urban landscape downtown. Here, the cobbled lanes are car-free and lined with lush palm trees. Devoid of skyscrapers, this slice of Jakarta is an ideal spot to soak up the tropical sun and admire 17th and 18th century architectural relics remaining from the years of Java's Dutch rule. The European influence in Batavia, as this area near Jakarta Bay was called in those colonial years, is clear in its stately buildings with whitewashed walls and sloping terracotta tiled roofs. The Jakarta History Museum, once the administrative headquarters of the Dutch East India Company, is the best preserved example of this aesthetic and casts long shadows over Fatahila Square, where I'm standing now. While the surrounding buildings create a starkly continental impression, moving into the square's food market is a strictly Indonesian affair. Here on simple plastic benches, amid the sounds of very talented yet bedraggled buskers, you can sample ketoprak, a traditional Jakartan street food of tofu, rice cake and vegetables soaked in a rich peanut sauce. Or my favourite, nasi padang from West Sumatra, a mini banquet of meat dishes slow cooked for hours in thick, fragrant and spicy sauces.
Pack your bags, get ready for takeoff, and let Turkish Airlines take you on a journey to more than 270 destinations in over 100 countries around the world. With a fleet of more than 285 state-of-the-art aircraft, no destination is too far. Turkish Airlines, widen your world.
Avoiding the traffic for just a few more moments in Jakarta's charming old town, I'm surprised to learn that only a few years ago, these streets were lined with rubbish and tourists were warned to veer away from them. The area, which is by no means pristine, is in the process of a revitalization, led by both the local government and private sector. Their successful renewal efforts reflect a wider story of a developing city beginning to find ways to address its urban problems. So says respected architect Ahmed Jahara, whose firm Jahara & Jahara is involved in the revitalization project and a part of the city's growing creative community.
There are 4 architects doing this project for a client called JOTRC, Jakarta Old Town Revitalization Corporation, headed by Lin Chiu Wei, one particular guy. And these changes will change the face of Jakarta because Lin Chiu Wei is starting to attract economic power and economic sustainability go there. Young people and investor will go there to invest. I think it'll be a great change for Jakarta.
Can I ask how important is it to Jakartans? You both work here, you live here. What do you envision for your city as architects?
Yeah, Jakarta is always a big opportunity to for a lot of people. So many people complain about Jakarta because they have the hectic things and traffic jams, etc. But still, they're not going away from the city because it has a vibrant life here. people are nice. They're always enthusiasm on new things. So if you see like coffee culture here is growing, young people of Jakarta start to appreciate these kind of things. I think creativity is really growing here in Indonesia and Jakarta particularly. And we are very, very enthusiastic about this. And the changes of government who's really now appreciate what the young people did, they really give us hope. As a nation, we have a lot of problems, but I think also as a nation, we have a lot of hope and enthusiasm and, you know, positive thinking about what happens. It's a really simple paradigm shift. If you see problem or you see opportunities.
I've arrived at my final destination, Cork and Screw at Pacific Place in central Jakarta. Hello.
Hello.
Winfred.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nolan, how are you?
Good, so how are you?
Good, good.
Welcome to Cork and Screw.
So this is your place?
Yes, it is.
Can we take a walk through?
Sure, sure.
Winfred Huda Barrett has been developing Jakarta's hospitality and retail scene for a number of years now. His brand Aksara, launched in 2001, was the city's first real English language bookshop chain. Today, his efforts are concentrated on the 11 food and beverage outlets that he operates as part of the Union Group. Union's Cork and Screw, with its sleek design and knowledgeable waitstaff, is one of the city's best spots for enjoying local and international wine in cool surrounds.
We have a good selection of wine for everyday drinking, but we also have quite a good selection of premium wines for the people who are more into serious drinking. We try to provide both ends of the spectrum, but with the overall effort just to basically choose the best wines in every price point. So that's what we've basically been doing.
And is that a theme that runs throughout your hospitality destinations, making them approachable? Because, you know, people talk a lot about this, the rising affluence of people in Indonesia and Jakarta, but at the same time, you know, there's a diverse mix of people with different spending power. Has that been key to your success, do you think, making your concepts approachable to a diverse mix of people?
That's a fantastic question, because that's precisely what we are doing. Me and my partners, when we sit down, we always think that, how can we make our restaurant busy throughout the day? I mean, the key is to be able to attract a mix of people with also a mix of backgrounds and also a variety of purchasing power.
And for those customers that do splurge, you do have some high-end wine offerings. I've heard that there's a surprising appreciation here for really good wine. Have you been surprised by the depth of knowledge that maybe some of your customers that have come into this wine venue have?
Sure. Again, it's how Indonesia has evolved, you know, over the years. There are quite a few of our customers who are very knowledgeable and who would go to Australia or France or different parts of Europe to basically try different wines and study wine. So yeah, the level of sophistication in the Indonesian market has actually been rising over the years.
As Winfred uncorks another good bottle of Australian Shiraz and we discuss the city further, I'm starting to realize why more and more Jakartans are returning home from work and studies abroad to help reshape their hometown. Jakarta is a city of opportunity and one that is truly worth getting to know. For Monocle in Jakarta, this is Nolan Giles.
And that's all for this week's edition of The Voyager. My thanks to Nolan Giles in Jakarta and Toby Hammond here in London. I hope you can join us then. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Until we board The Voyager again, happy travels.